For James Roberts' role in preserving Saltaire. 16 years after the death of Sir Titus Salt in 1876, his business, Sir Titus Salt, Bart, Sons and Company, was forced to acknowledge that it had serious financial problems. There was no hope. The board of directors and the shareholders decided that the company had to be wound up. The consequences of this decision did not just impact the company, its owners, and its workers. It impacted Saltaire and the ambitious project so eloquently summarized by Salt at the opening of the mill in 1853. He hoped to draw around him a population that would enjoy the beauties of the neighborhood and who would be a well-fed, contented, and happy body of operatives. The future of the project was in the balance as the company was sold to a consortium of four local businessmen: John Maddox, John Rhodes, Isaac Smith, and James Roberts. There is no doubt that their combined business experience was impressive, but they were now the owners of not only a mill, but also a small town, with facilities such as a park and a hospital. By 1898, the four had been reduced to two, Rhodes and Roberts, but Roberts' son Bertram was playing a senior role by then. In effect, James Roberts was now in charge, and from this point on, the company's bank balances showed a significant improvement. In 1900, a lengthy article in the Shipley Times showed the radical transformation of the mill being effected by James Roberts, and it does so even though it does not list every important development, for example, the introduction of electric power to the new mill. Moreover, it is no little thing that the community of Saltaire should be contented and prosperous, and that the name and fame of its production should be upheld. And it is worth noting that present control of Saltaire is directed to maintaining and, where possible, enhancing the reputation of the products of the Saltaire spindles and looms. Perhaps it was something to do with this. Roberts carries on the business under the style of the old firm, observes the author. Amongst the developments ushered in by the new regime were major changes to the power-generating apparatus. But, whilst a considerable amount of money was expended, significant economies were affected. In one case, the consumption of coal has been reduced to less than one half of what it used to be, while at the same time the wage bill for firing and coal handling has been materially lowered. Changes in the location of similar processes also resulted in significant savings. All the combing is now done in the combing shed. This, of course, means a great deal of compression, but has been effected without any loss of efficiency and with a great gain in economy. But the most effective cost-saving measures were in transport. Now all raw materials whatever, whether it be mohair from Turkey or the Cape, alpaca from South America, or silk from China or Japan, whether it comes discharged at Southampton, in the Mersey or in the Thames, it all comes, some 2,000 tons a year, from Goole or Liverpool by canal. The railway sidings are now only used for coal and building materials. These changes involved considerable change for the labour force, but somewhere around 3,000 workpeople now find steady employment in the mills, and that is a larger number than were ever on payroll before. And that was just at the start of Roberts' management. By 1918, when he left, the workforce was 4,000, and the factory's floor area had increased by 50%. Outside his role as boss of the mill, Roberts' style echoed that of Titus Salt. He was active in political and public affairs, and he engaged with his workers' life outside the mill. In 1903, he commissioned a statue of Titus to stand in Saltaire's Park. When he was made a baronet in 1909, he gave his workers a week off with full pay. 5 years later, he paid for a new pavilion for the cricket club. Later still, he would give the whole of Saltaire Park to the people of Bradford, naming it Roberts Park after his son, Bertram, who died young after being an effective manager and director at Salt's Mill. He echoed the Salts into another sphere. He moved into the Knoll in Bailden, the house built for Salt CEO Charles Stead, and later into Milner Field, Titus Jr.'s mansion. The second decade of the 20th century was torrid for James Roberts, as a father and as a businessman. He lost Bertram, and then saw another son called up to fight World War I receive life-changing injuries. The war had a huge and adverse effect on the business and his personal fortune. The German and Russian markets collapsed, and in 1917, the Russian Revolution stripped Roberts of his investments in that country. Yet, when Roberts decided to sell his company in 1918, he was able to pass on to the new owners a highly successful enterprise. No mean feat, and he did it without losing the legacy that was Saltaire.